If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you, and I do see some visitors that I didn't get around to shaking hands with. We're glad you're here, and I know the Lord's glad that you're with us also. Very quickly, about the prayers, the 40 days of prayer that we're going to start that tomorrow. And if you do not have a copy of the prayer books that we printed, there are some available to you in the back. We'd ask you to get one. And tonight we're going to have the singing night, but for just a few minutes we're going to talk about this tonight, just very briefly. So hope that you will find one if you don't have it. We've been working desperately on trying to keep the worship service on time, and we're trying. We're just doing everything we can, so I ask you to bear with us. Got off to a little bit of a late start, but we're okay, I think. I want to tell you about... Okay. Do we have a PowerPoint presentation today? We do? Oh, there it is. Okay. We have no clicker. We are clickerless. So, you know the pointing thing? We're going to do that one more Sunday, so bear with me today. We've got one on order, hopefully, that will fix that. Did you hear about the two snakes that were slithering through the grass together? One snake looked at the other snake and said, "Hey, are we poisonous?" Snake looked at the other snake. This is a true story, by the way. I hope you catch the humor in that. He says, "Well, I don't know if we're poisonous or not. Why do you ask?" He said, "I just bit my lip." You know, we can have poison in our mouths and not even know it sometimes. And today, very specifically, we're going to be talking about the things that come out of our mouths. Oh, no, hold. Can you hold it? Yeah. Whoa. I'll pick that up later. How many people knows what this is? What is it? Yeah, thank you, Russ. Where's Russ? Russ made this one for me because I couldn't find one to purchase. You're right. It's a boomerang. Big boomerang, right? When I was growing up, coincidentally, I want to tell you, this sermon that you're hearing today started in 1983. It really did, because that's when I learned about boomerangs for the illustration. My best friend had a boomerang. And I went over to his house. His name was Sean. Sean had five brothers. It was a whole herd of individuals at his house. And they got a boomerang. And I went over there, and it was really cool. You throw a boomerang, what happens? It goes out and makes a circle and comes back. Well, his brother Shane. And his mom says, "Shane!" Shane turns around, that thing just whacks him right in the back of the head. You know what I'm talking about? Some things are just funny. You know, words can come back and hit us in the back of the head too. They really can. How many of you have ever said something that you just wish that you would not have said? Yeah, we're in good company. All right. You remember how just instantly you knew it was wrong. And how you felt when you realized that you could do nothing in this world to take it back? Well, I hope to get us to think a little bit about that today. Our words are powerful. And God wants us to realize that the things that come out of our mouth are powerful, and they have explosive potential, or they have a real good potential. In James chapter 3, God uses some different illustrations to point out to us the power of the little tongue. The first thing he uses is, what's this? Where's the kiddos? They like to answer. What's this, Logan? It's a horse, right. Do you know that if a horse is anywhere from 14 to 16 hands high, that a horse usually weighs about 1,000 pounds, average, something like that? That's a lot. I weigh a fourth of that. I weigh a lot, you know. But this is a big beast. How many of you have ridden on a horse? Oh, yeah, a lot of you. Well, how do you manage such a big beast? by this. You know what that is? It's a bit. You put the bit in the horse's mouth, and when you pull on the reins, you can make that horse turn in any direction you want. Very little. That's not actual size. This wide. But it controls the whole animal. I've got to turn pages. This is how I learned how to do this, so I can hit the clicker at the right time. This is a big ship. This is a big, big ship, okay? I like the buildings in the background. It's enormous. You know how much a ship like this weighs? Million plus tons. That is an enormous ship. And it is controlled by, you see this little bitty flap at the back of the ship? Called a what? A rudder. Little bitty rudder controls the whole big ship. I got to keep turning the pages or I'm going to get behind. So I got a little picture on each page so I know what you're looking at. And you turned it to the next page, and what's this? It's a forest fire. There's great big trees set ablaze and hit it again. This is what set the forest on fire. Getting a picture of a spark to put on a power presentation is hard business. I'm telling you. I hope you appreciate this. Little bitty spark will burn a whole forest down. Right? The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 141 and verse 3, he asked in great wisdom, he asked the Lord to set a guard over his mouth. O Lord, keep watch over the doors of my lips. You know, any of us that have said something that we shouldn't ought to say, we understand the necessity of asking the Lord to guard the things that come out of our mouths. And that's what the psalmist says here that I find really good. So I want to talk about godly speech. Godly speech is really important. Godly speech really really shows what's in our hearts. Now, what got me going on this lesson is something that Ron is going to get to in his Colossians class. And we're going to get to it in just a minute. But point number one under godly speech is speech that is spiritual. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we see that we're supposed to keep the things of God close on our hearts and in our minds. But you know, as I read through the Psalms, and particularly as we go through our prayer, 40 days of prayer, how many of you have ever taken the time to write a psalm? You know what the psalms are? Psalms are spiritual reflections of a person towards God. And you know, it's really good if you take the time to write a psalm. It won't be inspired, of course, but you write a psalm of praise and worship and adoration to God. Well, the psalmist, he does this. He has the things of God coming out of his mouth. And I wonder sometimes just how often we go through our weeks and we have the spiritual things coming out on Sunday, but through the week we're not talking about God. Well, God wants our speech to be spiritual. And second of all, this is where I started. This is where I got the idea for this whole sermon. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your words be full of grace." I have a Christian friend, and every time he sees me, he just says, "Dan, you do such a good job, and you're so close to the Lord, and God must just be pleased when He looks at you." And you know, and I think, "Oh, wow!" And then when I go away, then it hits me, it dawns on me, I'm not that. But He's telling me that because He wants me to be that, and I fell for it, and I'm trying to live up to it because I want to be that. You been there? Let your speech be full of grace. What does that mean? Does that mean that I can pick out the good things about you and tell you your good things and create a desire in you to want to be better? God wants us to do that to each other. The things that come out of our mouth are so important. They can be used for poison or for greatness, for godliness. And here he says he wants our speech to be always full of grace. See if you can pick someone out that you know and build them up with a little bit of gracious speech and see what they can become. Ooh, I changed the order. Off guard. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says that our speech should be only what builds each other up. And I think about Barnabas. Barnabas means the son of encouragement. And you know, there is a person in here, and I'm not going to call names, but there is somebody in here that is just one of the biggest encouragers I have ever known in my life. Do you know, you probably know who I'm talking about. Hey, do you know someone that's a good encourager? Godly speech is encouraging. I come to you and I say, hey, let's try to do the good thing. Let's try to get on a path where we're going to be helping the kingdom of God to grow. Let's try to do this. I try to encourage you. God says, you know what? Godly speech is supposed to be encouraging. Let's see what happens next, because, oh, it's supposed to be helpful. I didn't change this on my paper. It's supposed to be helpful. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21 says, the lips of the righteous are nourishing. Oh, isn't that good? Godly people's speech is nourishing. Now, I've known some people that had some speech that was unhealthy. And it wasn't nourishing at all. It was like a vitamin opposite of B12, whatever that be, G4 shot, you know, where really ungodly going to get you down. But God says, no, be helpful in your speech. Well, what does that mean that I'm going to be helpful? If I'm going to be helpful to you, I've got to know you, right? I got to spend some time that it takes to build a relationship so that I can be helpful to you, because, you know, I'm just using you because you're so attuned to what I'm saying here, Travis. You with me? I'm trying to be helpful to you. I'm trying to know you. Well, I'm going to try to know all of you so that I can be helpful. But you know what? If I don't know you, it's going to be really hard for me to be helpful to you because I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what will easily offend you. I don't know what irritates you. I know nothing about you. God says our speech is to be helpful. And it is to be healing. Well, guess what? I had a verse on that, and it's not even on my page. So we'll skip to the next point. Oh, it's to be gentle. Oh. You know what? Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, sometimes, church, we're not gentle. And you know, we're not gentle sometimes because we have problems in our heart. We have things that are bothering us. And we're not gentle. And God tells us to be gentle. And I think so many of the times, Paul, the Apostle Paul, knew how to be bold when it was time to be bold. But let me tell you what, most of the time, Paul was very gentle. And I see Jesus on the cross as people were spitting on him and cursing him and mocking him and doing all this. I see a gentle Savior say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? The things that come out of our mouth need to be godly. Oh, and well thought out. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know, usually when we get in trouble with the things that come out of our mouth, it's because we haven't thought through them very well. Because we just pop out the first thing that comes to mind, and we just speak too soon, and God is not glorified in that. God wants our speech to be well thought out. One that's not quick, Because quick speech tends to be what? Judgmental. In other words, I'm taking in all the facts, and let me tell you what your problem is. You know, we have brothers and sisters in Christ like that. And let me tell you what your problem is. Let me play judge, jury, and trial. No, God says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And he tells us that our speech needs to be full of love. I was reading 1 John this morning. If you haven't read 1 John in a while, you might want to take some time to do that, because God wants us to be loving, especially in the things that come out of our mouth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says, If I have the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. The things that come out of our mouth, if they're not filled with love, I'm only a clanging gong. Bong, bong. Isn't that irritating? Bong, bong. Noise for nothing. God tells us, listen, want your speech to each other to have love in it. And you know what? You wouldn't ever stop to say, why would I need to preach this to the choir? We're the church, right? We're loving, right? Carol Timer shook her head and said no. Hey, sometimes we're not, are we? And you know, it's sometimes because it's on purpose and sometimes because it's not, to be honest. God tells us that He wants our speech to be full of love. And He wants our speech to sometimes not be speechful at all. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 7 says there's a time to speak and a time to be quiet. And you know what? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but have you ever been speaking when you should have been silent? No, me too. Job chapter 13 and verse 5, Job tells his friends, hey, there's a thing called silence in wisdom. There's wisdom in silence, that is. Sometimes you just need to be quiet. You know, if you do a little heart check and your heart's not in the right place, God says, hey, maybe sometimes the godly speech is just... If you can't say something good, don't say something at all. And God kind of tells us to be that way. Psalms 39 verse 1 says that the man that muzzles his mouth is the man that takes charge. Have you ever lost charge? Yeah, I have. Y'all are just sitting there. Y'all won't answer my questions. I have. I'm telling you. Matthew 12, verse 34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The things that are coming out of your mouth is merely a window to your heart. If you got garbage in your heart, that's what's going to be coming out of your mouth. Man, that is powerful, isn't it? God wants us as Christians to have the good things coming out of our heart, because we are to be filled with God. Our hearts are full and overflowing with His love, and that's what He wants coming out of our mouths. Oh, but the other side. Ungodly speech. If your heart is full of trash, ungodly speech is what's going to come out. First thing I want to talk to you about in ungodly speech is hurtful speech. And I want to remind you as we go through these things that some of our speech is very intentional. And sometimes we just don't really understand the effect of what our speech is doing. That's up to you, to be honest with yourself. But under hurtful speech, we see in Psalms 64 and verse 3, it says that the wicked sharpen their tongues. You know what that says to me? I don't know what it says to you, but sometimes our words can be cold and calculated and on purpose hurtful. And if you think we're immune to it, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not. When we get a little hurt or a little agitated about something, it might just be in the tone of our voice. But we can be hurtful to someone else. And we need to really keep a control on that. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, harsh words stir up anger. Have you ever heard a Christian speak harshly to someone else? Proverbs 26 and verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those that it crushes. The things that come out of our mouth has the ability to crush a brother or sister in Christ. And I think we've probably all seen that happen too. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4 says that the hurtful speech crushes the spirit. And you know, all of us know someone who has been a faithful member at some time and have said, you know what, this brother and sister said something to me that was just so ugly I had never come back since. And that's a horse of different color. We can have a whole sermon about you're not letting someone else affect your attitude. But we can also have a whole sermon like we're having today on the fact that our speech can hurt other people. We need to think before we speak. We need to consider that the things we say can hurt emotionally another brother or sister in Christ. It can push them away or help bring them in, and the bringing in is the godly speech. But if we're saying things that are coming out of our mouth that are hurtful to someone else, we need to really think. We need to ask ourselves, why in this world would I want to hurt another Christian? We do sometimes, though. We really do. And I want you to think about this as you consider the things, sometimes your approach to another brother and sister in Christ. We really need to pray on it. I'm sure that prayer is important, isn't it? We've been talking about how important that is. We need to be praying on our speech and how important it is in the realm of the kingdom of God. Oh, some of our speech, is meaningless. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, and this is getting back into Ron's territory, talks about those who would speak vain philosophy. Some of the things that we talk about are just not important. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 13 gives us the idea that a fool multiplies words. That's the next point, so you can just hold up on that one, but that's all right. Proverbs 12 and verse 23 says, a fool blurts out folly. Proverbs 10 and verse 11 says, with many words, sin is unavoidable. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. You ever just been around somebody and they just talk to hear themselves talk? I don't have anything to talk about, so I'm going to make up something. You've been there, haven't you? We've been there sometimes recently. I see people smiling. They're like they're nothing. Don't want nobody around them to know that they're smiling. We've all been there just to fill time and space, you know. I'm just going to talk about whatever pops out of my head. That's meaningless talk. And when words are multiplied, sin is inevitable. That's what Proverbs says. We need to be careful sometimes when we're just talking to hear ourselves talk. And the next point that he's already got on the board is unwholesome speech. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says that we're to have no unwholesome talk, and I love the word unwholesome. Ephesians 5 and verse 4 says no coarse joking. Vulgarities that come out of a Christian's mouth. You wouldn't think that anyone sitting around you would have a potty mouth, do you? But sometimes Christians have potty mouth. Sometimes Christians talk about things that they really ought not to be talking about. We sit and we listen to people at work and they tell dirty jokes, and you know what we do? We don't want to offend them, right? So we sit there and, do this number. And we ought to be saying, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Keith was just telling us about that here a while back. Where are you at, Keith? You wrestle with that at work. This unwholesome talk, and you know what? Christians can be filled with some unwholesome talk also. I think particularly about Paul talking to us about the idea of gossip. Christians don't gossip, Dan. You don't have to say anything about that. I don't talk about Tahira behind her back. Come see me afterwards, I'll tell you. we gossip? Do we talk about other people when they're not present? Try to sort out all their problems for them? We're good problem sorters, aren't we? Oh, all in the name of heavenly things, right? You know what God says? No, don't do it. You don't need to be talking about another brother or sister behind their back. That's unwholesome. And definitely coarse joking, we understand, is unwholesome. Oh, and self-centered. I just found this verse. I want to share it with you. Psalms chapter 12, verse 3 says, "The boastful tongue the Lord cuts off." Paul's talking about the idea of boasting in the Lord. And he says, hey, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. And I think sometimes we see Christians who all they can talk about is themselves. And I'm just meeting this thing head on. If you fall in that category, I didn't have you in mind. Just want you to think about it. You know, sometimes around me even, I get to having a conversation and it ends up being about me. And you know, I need to stop that foolishness. Because it's not all about me. Sometimes it's about you. Sometimes you have a difficulty. And if all that's filling the void is about Dan, how are we going to get to you? How am I going to be helpful? How am I going to be kind and gentle and loving and all those other things if I'm just talking about me? We're sometimes filled up with ourselves, aren't we? And God does not want us to be self-centered. But God wants us to be God-centered. He does not want our speech to be hurtful, meaningless, unwholesome, and He definitely doesn't want our speech to be ungodly. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, "The tongue has the power of life and the power of death." You think sometimes that we just speak with the idea that we'll just worry about the results later? I do. And you know what God tells me? Don't do that. Because the tongue has a mighty force, and Satan can take control of that force if we don't. You know, we started with the boomerang, right? I hope you appreciate this, because this took some quite extensive time to try to figure out how to do this on the PowerPoint. Let me make an allegory. Instead of a boomerang, how about a word-o-rang? Thank you, Colton, for showing me how to bend that word around there to look like a boomerang. If we throw out our words in hate, they'll come back and hit us in the back of the head. If we throw out words in bitterness and in anger and hatred, words that are hurtful and ungodly, they're going to come back to us just the same as they left. Oh, but if we throw out words of gentleness, words that are gracious, words that would build someone up, words that would encourage us, those words will come back in like kind. And they'll bless our lives. And God will be glorified. Because, Matthew 12 and verse 36, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak." Oh man, I don't know about you, but that means that I'm going to have to give an account for the things that's coming out of my mouth. That means I better get serious about it. Because God's going to be serious about it on the day of judgment. I want us this morning to spend the rest of our week thinking about the things that are coming out of our mouth. If the things are hurtful, ask yourselves why. Where's that coming from? Because God's not prompting those feelings, not those actions. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11 says, "The mouth of the righteous are a fountain of life." The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. You know what, brothers and sisters? Going back to James and James chapter 3, James says, I think in verse 11, he says, "Out of the same well, or out clean water and bitter water," I'm not getting this right, "fresh water and salt water cannot come forth out of the same spring." You know what? Sometimes we have both blessings and cursings coming out of our mouth. And God says, you know what? It's not supposed to be that way. When we're Christians, we're supposed to have godly things coming out of our mouth. And you know, all of us can look right around us today and we can see people that's been affected by the things that come out of our mouth in a good way and maybe sometimes in a negative way. Let's all clean up the things that come out of our mouth. Somebody here this morning might need a window washing. If the mouth is a window to the heart, maybe someone needs a window washing. We got some Windex up here and we're willing to pray for you. If you have some need this morning, if you want to publicly say, you know what, I've not been watching the things that's been coming out of my mouth. If you want to say, I want you all to pray with me. If you want to share a blessing. If you have a need in any way that we can help you with, come down front as we stand and sing.